Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome back to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 High FM, where we connect you through insights, information and illumination. Absolutely wonderful to be with you. I'm Nikki Seberini. And our next guest on the show is Sarah Jean Harrison, who is a music therapist and currently works at the Breast Care Center of Excellence. And I, for one, am very excited to unpack what music therapy is all about, especially in terms of cancer care. So, Sarah, welcome and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Nikki, so much for having me. I'm so excited to share more about music therapy.
You know, when we think of music, we know how music can make us feel. I mean, you can't avoid it. So you could be feeling slightly down and you can put on a sad song and immediately you can be feeling tearful and emotional, or you could put on an uplifting song and then all of a sudden your energy shifts and you're feeling slightly happier. You can even put on a song from some happy moment in your past and you feel that excitement fill your heart. So we're so aware of how powerful music is. And I think that you're using it with supporting people on this cancer journey is really, really fascinating. But before we get to that, you know, you had a very interesting interaction with a doctor who kind of gave you the idea to go into music therapy. And that was because your mother was on a cancer journey. And it was the oncologist, or just outline that, because the synchronicity is quite unbelievable, really.
Yeah, definitely. It's been such an incredible journey. And looking back to that exact moment, it was about, I think it was 2021, 2022. Goodness, years have flown by. But I was with my mom at Mill Park Hospital. And I remember meeting the professor, and she was just telling me a bit about the surgery, what was going to happen. And then she actually asked about myself. And she says, "What are you doing?" And at the time, I was in my honors and I was studying music and psychology, but I told a teacher and I just didn't know where to almost channel that. And I loved people. And he said to me, "Ah, have you actually heard about music therapy? I'm reading up about it." And 2 weeks later, I applied for the master's and did 2 years there. And I'm so grateful to say that I'm working with that professor now at the Breast Care Center of Excellence. So it's
Isn't
been such a privilege
amazing?
To.
Is that exactly. Professor Ben? Is that Professor yes. Ben? Yeah. Yes. I mean, who else could it be? You know, she's just an incredible, incredible human being. We've had her on the show many times. And every time she comes, she shares so much. But besides the information that she shares, it's the generosity and this expansive way of looking at the world and people and cancer and treatment and living life. So how wonderful that she saw in you this young person and a possibility of expanding into music therapy and then actually bringing it into the Breast Care Center of Excellence. So let's yes. talk about it. As I said, music can shift you in the most amazing, amazing way. We know it. We feel it. So is that what music therapy is about? Are you very consciously trying to shift people, or is that far too simplistic?
I would say it's far too simplistic, but it does have some truth in it. But as music therapists in South Africa, we go through a 2-year master's full time. And the only university that has this course for us is the University of Pretoria, Tucks. And it's led by an incredible team, Dr. Carol Lotta and Dr. DeSantos. And in that training, we were exposed to so much more than what we thought music therapy was going to be. And music therapy, we are a complementary therapy, and we use music as a tool to drive and get to our clinical goal. So with different patients, our goals are very different. I worked in a dementia care facility, and one of the goals was cognitive stimulation, because many of the patients didn't have that. And we worked very much so with memory recall. And you know, these patients, couldn't remember what they had for breakfast, but they could sing word for word a song that they had listened to in their 20s. So it was amazing to see for different patients, we use music differently. And specifically in the Breast Care Center, I work with the incredible Dr. Blumenthal, an anaesthetist, and Dr. Curry and Professor Carol Bain. And my role is to really assist the overall experience for a patient going into surgery. And you might ask, okay, what does music do for the patients? But in this space, our goal is to work specifically with anxiety reduction before we go in to the surgery. So as you mentioned, the music, yes, it can push us into different places, but the goal that we're wanting is that we use music intentionally for different outcomes for patients. I hope that answers a little bit.
It absolutely does. And now we're going to unpack all of it because this is absolutely fascinating. So before we get to what you're doing, preparing or assisting patients who are going into for surgery, and we know the anxiety that comes up with it, I was also very curious when you said you started off working with Alzheimer's patients and looking at trying to work on their cognitive ability, so to stimulate that, and how they were able to remember the words of a song. And that is so interesting because, I mean, I think about something that happened yesterday and I cannot recall the details, but play a song from when I was 18, 19, 20 or whenever, and I remember those words. So what is it about that? Is it because there's a particular rhythm or beat? What is it about the music that helps us remember the words? Like, what does it do to stimulate the cognition happening?
So when you think of music, it activates our brain, but in a very complex way. It's not just one thing. And if you look at something like we spoke about emotions, how music is very triggering. And when you listen to a piece of music, your amygdala and hippocampus, it releases dopamine through the brain as like a reward pathway, similar to what happens if we eat good food or do something fun. And it's incredible that the music can shift the way that we feel. And I think that music is very relational at the end of the day. As you mentioned, you know, we listen to sad music almost to feel that relational, that what I'm going through, people have gone through. Or if you're feeling like something upbeat, you choose a specific song that actually, if you look at it, you look at the lyrics of what the song has, you look at the tempo. Tempo is, you know, the speed of the music. And it's incredible because I remember reading a paper about DJs and how DJs always try to get their audience at a certain place in terms of their heart rate, because the first thing that is rhythmic in our body are hearts. So our heartbeat, and eventually bringing up the tempo for a quicker song and a quicker song. And then they just find that great almost tempo that can hold the crowd for as long and doesn't dip them up and down. So in terms of like our brain and the way our body, I mean, we can't even just look at the brain as itself. You know, the brain works with everything and how our whole brain connectivity, because music engages all the different regions all at once. It helps us. It even helps us with motor skills. If you're learning drumming, when I worked at the psychiatric hospital in Santa Antara, and we worked a lot with patients in terms of a grounding technique. And we found that drumming was incredible for patients because it almost just brings them back to a place of just drumming and holding that. So yeah, it's so much, it's very complex. Fast. And for me, I'm not a brain doctor, but I would love to pursue a PhD where we're looking at these things, like how does our body actually react and relate to music? It's just fascinating in itself. And only recently with music therapy have they actually seen that we, as music therapists, they've found the power of music scientifically for patients. And that is why our jobs are our jobs now. It's not just a music teacher. We as a therapist use the music intentionally for patients.
Yeah, and why, you know, Professor Ben would invite you to the Breast Care Center of Excellence, because as you say, it's backed by science. So I may be going a little bit off the topic, but, you know, music is frequency. And so many people are talking about frequency and brain states and And I'm just wondering if, and then you're going to break down. I don't want to, you know, run ahead because I want to know exactly what you're doing at the center. But would you, is there certain music, and is this what you cover, that you would use to stimulate or activate different brain states or waves? And is that important? Is that even important?
So under our profession, we don't particularly work in terms of sound therapy because there is something called sound therapy.
Okay, so that's sound therapy. Yeah, okay.
Which I also think is amazing. And, you know, I really feel that if patients almost take their healthcare in every single aspect, that's great. But we don't particularly work in terms of sound therapy. But I have worked with patients where they've asked me, please, can I have 440 hertz sound frequencies whilst they're listening? And I say, that's perfect. And then that's the song selections that we choose for them. So I must say, I don't know a lot about it, but I have heard about sound frequency.
How interesting, because you really are at the forefront, right? It's kind of unfolding as it's happening, and you get to experience it and see what's working and what's not, which is fascinating. I think it's such an enormous field, and that there is the distinction between the sound therapy and the music therapy. So let's have a look at what music therapy looks like. There's a patient, she's going in for surgery, and they call you in, because I know that Professor Ben always talks about a multidisciplinary team. You talk about it being complementary treatment. So how does it look? What how does it start, and in what direction do you move?
So normally I meet the patient before, and it's just such a great way to build rapport with patients, because I always like to see a patient as a whole, and they're not just coming in for their surgery and leaving, but who they are. So I meet them and we have a one-on-one consultation. And then I always ask, what is your type of music? And I did my research in music listening and cancer care, and so many papers draw back on personalized playlists, because Nikki, my music that I like is probably very different to the music that you like. And as people, we are so unique, and I build personalized playlists for them. But it's quite funny because some of my patients say, but this is, are you sure this is therapeutic music? And I guess there is the misconception of what is like music therapy, music listening, but it's almost, it isn't the music itself, but how we use music in this space. And with my patients, just knowing that whatever they bring to the table, it can be 80s, it could be, you know, spiritual music. Lots of patients have actually used spiritual music, which is also incredible because it's music that relates to them. So once I get to know them a bit more and ask them about how they're feeling for the procedure, what are some things that have come up, we build this playlist together. And then on the day of the surgery, I meet them there, and that's when we start the next stage. But yeah, I don't want to also run ahead of things, but that's how the before session starts.
Okay. And what do you say to them? I mean, if a doctor says, okay, you're going in for surgery and I recommend you go and see a music therapist, I'm sure there are a lot of people who have got so much on their plate. They've been diagnosed, they've got this whole treatment journey and now they're told to see a music therapist. So what do you say to them to explain that this is why it's an important step?
No, for sure. And I think also music therapy is so new. I mean, it was new to me a few years ago. Yeah. And sitting with them, explaining what we are offering. And I normally approach the conversation saying, we as a team want to look at you as a whole. You know, you're not a car coming in for an auto ching ching done, but we want to see you as the whole. And for many patients are very anxious about going into surgery, going in for this big procedure. And for the team, we're so used to being in that space, you know, coming in and out, and almost giving patients the sense of control where they don't have it in that space. Mm-hmm. And this is almost their sense of agency, having their music in a space. And Dr. Blumenthal and Professor Carol Ben and I, we would love to do a study on here applied in South Africa, because they released one in India showing that actually when patients listen to music before surgery, their heart rates are lowered, their nervous system is lowered, and that the anesthetist pushes less propofol and fentanyl, which are the two main drugs that put you to sleep. And then therefore the recovery is better for the patient. And I have found in our feedback that so many patients were almost surprised by what music had to offer them in a space that they didn't know about before. So that's almost how I see it, saying we want to look after you, what's happening in your mind, what's happening in your soul as well, because we are people. Like, we aren't just coming in for one thing. We are, have to work as a whole. And we found that music has also been very relaxing for patients, because waiting there in the room, and I remember my mum sharing it with me, it's almost just the anticipation and the fear building up and up. But I'm sitting with them. I sometimes ask if they would like to chat, because we use something called bone conducting or open-eared headphones. So you can almost see this in this little picture here. And they sit like this. They sit like this on your ear, so that you're able to hear what's going around you. It doesn't completely block you off, and you can have a conversation with someone, but you're the only one that can still hear your music through these open-eared headphones or bone conducting headphones. So it just sits like this on the patient, and it actually helps the team in the theater be able to, you know, walk through with the patient what they need to do, and they can still listen to their music. And sometimes they always ask if they would have they want a going out song. I was like, no, but then you know it's coming.
Okay, so that's amazing. So they take the music, they listen to it before they go into theater with these special little ear speakers or whatever, their bone, whatever you've just called them, so that they can hear the anaesthetist, they can hear the surgeon, and they hear the music. And is the music playing the entire time they're under?
So only about 15 minutes in. I would love to have almost the capacity to work, because I normally see the one patient go to the next patient. But I would love to give, so many patients have actually asked for these headphones. I would actually love to give patients the whole experience, because the only thing is that patients don't remember the songs that they listen to when they fall asleep, but almost their body, your body, when your brain is under unconscious, your body, because it's put into a relaxed state, can almost pick up the music, but you won't remember, oh, I was listening to track 5 of Beyonce or something like that. But your body, because it's been already in a relaxed state, can still subconsciously pick it up. But I haven't done research fully into it. I would love to. I think it would be an incredible opportunity. I know overseas they have done a bit more research into that, but so many patients just said it actually didn't really matter, because they fell asleep and they were just very peaceful before they were falling asleep.
I think you're in a position to gather so much valuable information and to see just how successful it is in terms of helping people with healing and with the anxiety, because you know when your body's in a state of anxiety, how difficult it is for healing, for moving forward. So I love that, Sarah. And very quickly before we go, when they wake up, are you there with the music as well, or is it...
So I see them a week. I see them a week after, and that's where we have our one-on-one therapy session. And this is really, I almost say the surgery is almost like the pregame to this day that we have. And in this one-on-one, I have a room at the breast cancer center, and we really just sit there and I do use a receptive music therapy technique. And that's where I, as the music therapist, now it's kind of in my control, I choose a piece of music that is quite evoking for patients, but it depends on what they have liked to listen to. And those are the type of pieces that I choose. And in that space, I really say, this is your space, and whatever comes up for you, you can either write it, draw. And so many patients have written letters to themselves. You know, they always thank everyone that's walked with them. And sometimes they just take this time to really reflect on their journey. Sometimes they like to draw a safe space, and that is a place where we almost unpack certain topics of grief, something like womanhood as well. You know, many patients feel like losing their breast feels like they've lost their womanhood, and we sit there and we unpack that. Or some patients speak about almost the joy and the positivity that they've had through this experience. So as the music therapist, I really just want to hold a space for them, because sometimes it is a very hard journey, and sometimes it's hard to talk to your partner. Sometimes it's hard to talk to family or friends. And sometimes you just want a bit of an outsider to sit there with you and just be there. And I think that's why it's been such a privilege to walk with so many patients, and to know that we're wanting to look after them on just a full scale. Yes, of course, you know, how the surgery goes, and that's why it's such an incredible team to be a part of, but also that we're looking after you emotionally and psychologically as well, because it is something that some patients don't think about. And in that space, they feel like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm crying. And I said, no, this is your space. This is your time. So it's been such a privilege. And I'm very excited for what is to come. And as I said, I'm also learning. It's a very novel. No one is really in my space at the moment. So I am learning, but feel very privileged to be with an incredible team that is giving me these opportunities. So
well, Sarah, well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us, for telling us about music therapy. You're doing an amazing job. Looking forward to chatting again and getting more insight as to, you know, how successful it is. And I hear that it is. And we appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so much. Sarah Jean Harrison, music therapist at the Breast Care Center of Excellence. Listen, I do hope that you have enjoyed the show. I have so enjoyed being in your company.